Hello, and welcome to the Covenant of Mayors podcast. I'm Anthony Coakley. Today we're diving deep into a unique initiative of the city of Debrecen, a city that's taking proactive measures to adapt to climate change through the Covenant of Mayors Policy Support Facility Program. Our guests from the city and their visiting expert will share insights about Debrecen's Water is Our Common Treasure Climate Adaptation Initiative. In part one, we'll explore the motivation behind Debrecen's climate action and the challenges that the city faces. In part two, we'll delve into the specifics of their rainwater barrel project and the role of business and community in tackling climate change on the local level. Without further ado, I'll let Dorothea, Zuzana, and Erika introduce themselves.
My name is Dorothea Horni-Korvat, and I'm working as an urban development expert at EDC, Debrecen Nonprofit Organization. I'm an international economist from the University of Debrecen, and I'm working at urban development areas such as local sustainable transport development, energy efficiency, green city, community building, or local business development, mainly in national EU-funded projects, but also in international projects like EIT, Urban Mobility, IURC, Latin America, or European City Facility, and of course the Policy Support Facility. And I have some responsibility in implementing and revising the setup of our city, Debrecen. And the main topics in my interest are nature-based solution and sustainable water management.
Yeah. And just for our listeners as well, just to break apart all the acronym, the CCAP is a Sustainable Energy and Climate Action Plan. Zuzana, do you want to go ahead?
Okay, so my name is Zuzana Hodeková. I was involved as an external expert for this policy support facility program. And my professional life is that I am a landscape and urban architect, and I am working closely with cities in the preparation of different projects in territorial planning, landscape planning. And that's why, because I have more than 20 years of experiences there, I see that the problem of climate change is here and the cities should adapt. And I started to work on different adaptation strategy, but also especially using the ecosystem-based adaptation, nature-based solutions, and that's why I was really happy to be involved and to somehow accompany Debrecen City in this project.
My name is Erika Jacsperink. I work as a senior expert of urban development at EDC Debrecen, the Urban Development and Economic Development Center of the city of Debrecen. Originally, I'm an agricultural engineer, but I have been dealing with urban development issues for 15 years for this company. And my responsibility is the coordination of developing project proposals for EU funding and for supplying project management activities of international projects such as Interreg Europe, Central Europe, LIFE, Horizon Europe, etc. I'm also the contact officer for Debrecen membership and Eurocities network of the major European cities. I'm involved in this PSF project as a coordinator from EDC Debrecen Nonprofit Limited Company, and on behalf of the municipality of Debrecen. To make it more clear for our audience, I must tell you that EDC Debrecen is a municipality-owned company which provides consultation for the municipality regarding urban development issues, and it also responsible for the development and the regular revision of the sustainable urban development strategy of the city. So actually, the municipality was eligible for applying the PSF program, and EDC Debrecen was designated to develop the application and submit it on behalf of the municipality.
I'm interested to hear, first of all, about the motivation for joining the program. I think the urgency of climate action was already mentioned, but it'd be great to hear maybe first from the city and then from the expert perspective, the reasons for getting involved in the policy support facility.
So when we found this opportunity, the call for proposals of the Covenant of Mayors, we were very happy because the city of Debrecen is a member of the European Covenant of Mayors since 2017 and is committed also to reach the carbon neutral goals of the European Union by 2050. So we always search for opportunities to be part of some great programs in accordance with the goals of the Covenant of Mayors. And getting acquainted with the program, we discussed the possibility with the municipality, and we found that it would be very useful to apply. So we were asked to apply and submit the proposal on behalf of the municipality. And the reasons and motivation is that Debrecen is facing climate change and its effects very heavily. Aligning with the Sustainable Urban Development Strategy, Debrecen has significant number of projects in relation with mitigation. But it was also essential for us to implement more and more adaptation measures. And PSF program is aiming to provide technical support in this field, in the adaptation field. So for this reason, we were very interested in this PSF program. The original aim was to perform a feasibility study for provision of water supply and utilization of rainwater and grain water. That study would make technical recommendations for establishment of rainwater catchment or retention systems. But when we started to work together with the external experts, our goal was more clarified. That means became to ensure that rainwater from private houses is collected instead of being fed into the combined drainage system. So to implement a pilot project became a good idea while discussing or consulting with our experts. And last year, weather events also showed us that it is very urgent to take effective actions to tackle climate change effects.
And then what about the expert perspective? What motivates an expert to get involved in a program like this?
As I mentioned before, I see climate change as the biggest challenge that we face. Also, loss of biodiversity for sure, but in the topic of urban development, it is especially climate change. And as I mentioned, the threats, the negative impact of climate change are very similar, especially in Central Europe, because I am from Slovakia and living in Austria, and it was the previous Austro-Hungarian Empire, Hungary. So we have still, I think, quite similar history and so problems. That's why I am professionally affiliated with also a different network, for example, in Slovakia with the national platform for Covenant of Mayors city signatories. So I'm quite in the contact with also Covenant of Mayors secretary. And I was thinking that based on all of my experiences that I have got during my professional career as an architect, because I heard and I led some projects on the use of nature-based solutions to help improve the situation in the cities as summer heats or problem with drought and very heavy rains. I can provide my experience to help perhaps other cities. And on the other hand, it is always the both side positive impact that also for me and for my professional career, I see different situation. And during the discussion, it is very enriching also for me.
I take on board again that point about the urgency. I'm really interested in learning more about the process of expert consultation and also how you fine-tuned, as you explained, this initial idea about water to something quite specific. But I'd love to just linger on this urgency a little bit. I'm wondering, Dorothea, if there's a moment in your work when you sort of had a sudden impression of this urgency around climate action.
Yeah, for me, sustainable water management and nature-based solution have always been in the focus of my interest, and climate change and its effects are part of our life. It means everyday problem, not only for the city, but also for the citizens and also for me. To mention a concrete situation in my city, when there is a heavy rain, streets are flooded because drainage stacks and the drainage system are not able to handle or dispose the increased water level. And as a result of this, wastewater will be on the streets. Streets will smelly. And it can cause hygienic problems. Beside of that, public institution owners have to face damages in their properties. Citizens cannot use streets for transporting, and the use of the public transportation is also difficult. And gardens are flooded as well in the suburban areas. And it happens all the time in my garden too. So this is the way how I'm also affected. Meanwhile, the green fields in public areas are dried out in summer because of lack of precipitation. And last summer in Debrecen was suffering from extreme drought, and the periodic or temporary rains are very common in Hungary and in Debrecen nowadays, as Susanna mentioned, in Slovakia or in Austria. So this is why rainwater retention and reusage would be really, really urgent and essential now.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your garden? Are you growing anything there? Is it a concrete space, a grass space? And what happens when it floods?
Yeah, it's a small grassed place with some plants, and where is heavy rain, it's flooded because it can't dispose the water.
So you mentioned two extremes, the flooding and the extreme heat. Are these the two main climate challenges in the Debrecen, or are there other challenges besides these that you're finding quite pressing?
To give a picture for you about the challenges related to climate change in Debrecen, I'm giving a context about the city. Debrecen is a growing, livable city. It is the second largest city in Hungary after the capital in terms of population, which is 200,000 people. So Debrecen is a sustainable and innovatively developing macro-regional center, offering high quality of life with a cross-border role. It is, according to the Sustainable Urban Development Strategy, it is the vision of our city that it's a macro-regional center providing those opportunities and possibilities for citizens. Debrecen is an economic and cultural and also the knowledge center of eastern part of Hungary. And it has a fast-growing economy, having a significant impact on the surrounding cities and settlements. Due to the foreign direct investments during the last 7 years, Debrecen is expected to become one of the new centers for electromobility in Europe. So challenges related to climate change partly come from this industrialization process, because new factories are forced or try to operate a carbon neutral way. And on the other hand, the main challenges you mentioned, the heavy floods, there's the other problem with the droughts. So tackling droughts and heavy rainfalls or floods, mitigating heat island effects are also in focus while struggling with climate change effects in this city, because Debrecen is exposed, heavily exposed to climate change. It's also crucial for us to preserve our green spaces. So nature-based solutions are essential. We have a nice forest called Great Forest or Big Forest, which is a nature preserved area. So that's why it's so important for us to preserve our values. And also air pollution causes problems for us too. So reduction air pollution is also a challenge. I think those are the most important aspects about the challenges.
You already mentioned that there are efforts for mitigation implemented, and there's a kind of a shift towards, or at least the inclusion of adaptation more so now. Can you tell me a little bit about some measures for combating climate change that are already there in Debrecen, ones that you think are particularly interesting, either in the fields of mitigation or adaptation to climate change?
Of course, it's also very important to us to implement energy efficiency or energy efficient renovation of our public buildings, because public buildings are one of the factors that has a high rate of CO2 emission. So the mitigation measures, those are one of them, the energy efficient measures. The sustainable mobility is also an issue for us, not from the point of view of the new factories, which lead to a huge amount of commuting in the next years, but also to protect our environment and keep our city as a livable city. So mobility or public transport and traffic can cause also a high level of CO2 emission. So that's why those are also important issues.
You're talking about large scale measures. I mean, public buildings are kind of a nice one, because they're something that are in control of the municipality, at least for the most part. But when you start to go beyond that, you see challenges everywhere. And I know that this specific adaptation measure that you're talking about with water is something that involves residents as well. But I suppose that for your fight against climate change, you're really talking about involving all sorts of different people and organizations. Can you tell me a little bit about, anyone is welcome to join, about what that looks like? Who do you have to involve to make the city's vision a reality? Who do you have to make share that vision? And how does that process work?
I think all the citizens living in this city, also the municipality, of course, and the companies working here, and even the university, the academia side, are important factors or players in the process to reach resilient and more sustainable environment of our city. And therefore, we started to work together with companies within their corporate social responsibility strategy to involve them in environmental and other important developments. So I think they are essential in the process to make our city, keep our city a livable city. And Dorothea will tell you about the process of involving those companies within within the pilot action, which was implemented within this PSF program.
Susanna, do you want to say something for this?
I would like. So when we were thinking or shall to answer to some success factor of this chosen measure in Debrecen, I would say that this is the exceptional good team from the city, very motivated, and very good cooperation with perhaps other, with different departments, with chief gardener who participated in several meetings we had and provided information and really was also very closely involved. But what is, I think, crucial is the cooperation with the municipal water company. And the cooperation, as I have seen, also through different departments of the city, that people participated, especially in the first meeting, but also afterwards. I think that the cooperation with such good cooperation perhaps would be possible also without PSF program, but at least it is providing the opportunity, the possibility to sit around one table and to brainstorm how really it would be possible perhaps to start with this issue, that this rainwater pluvial flooding, and on the other hand, the drought, and on the other hand, how to involve also local citizens. So for me, this was something as a success factor in that return.
Right. I'll just edit out the part where you said the PSF is not that important. No, I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm joking. So I'm really interested as well in the good cooperation within Debrecen, not just with external stakeholders, because I know that silos between different parts of the city, of the municipal organization, are often a major blocking factor for actually a lot of the cities that I've talked to. I'd love to know if there's an approach in Debrecen that helps to create these not just good relations, but also maybe open communication between the different departments and people like these gardeners.
Yeah, if I can give you an exact picture of our pilot project, I'm trying to summarize the essence of our pilot project in PSF program. Because it's a really new environmental campaign with the name of Water is Our Common Treasure. And we are really proud of it because almost 500 rainwater harvesting barrels will be distributed free of charge to the public. And in parallel with this activity, awareness raising will also be carried out to promote the importance of rainwater retention. And why we find it particularly relevant or success, because this story has become a multi-actor story, as Susan and Erika mentioned, and we could involve many, many actors to this process, and it created a new chance of working and involving local experts and local companies through CSR activity. And how did the actors contribute, just in brief? For example, the municipality contributes 300 rainwater barrels to this pilot action. The local companies will also distribute almost 200 barrels to the citizens, and the technical experts from the local water company had to identify the most affected areas, which means those city parts where is a huge number of illegal connections to the urban storm water drainage system. So these actors are the most relevant actors in our pilot project.
I can definitely feel that my guests think we've had enough of the context, motivation, aspiration, and challenges. Perhaps you feel the same. From extreme flooding to droughts, we've heard that cities like the Bessin are very vulnerable to the effects of climate change. We've heard how seeing these effects literally in your own back garden hammers home the message that we've got to act. However, with innovation and collaboration, the city is creating initiatives that not only address environmental concerns, but also boost community engagement. In part two, we'll shift our focus to the specifics of the Water is Our Common Treasure initiative. We'll hear firsthand about the unique approach to Bressan took, the community's involvement, and how local businesses played a role in this sustainable journey. We'll also explore if and how other cities can take hold of the same or similar solutions. Let's get the details. Join me now for part two.
I'd love to roll back a bit because it's true that we didn't get details yet really about this program. So maybe we can go even further back than the program itself. You mentioned at the beginning that you had quite a wide range of actions in mind, and that through the policy support facility and your discussions that you managed to narrow it down to this particular practice of harvesting water in private homes. So can we maybe go back even to that process and tell me a bit about how you decided on this action amongst the possibilities that you were presented with?
Yes, Erika mentioned at the beginning, the original aim in the PSF program was performing a feasibility study for provision of water supply. But when we started to work with Zuzana and Zsófi, the Hungarian technical expert, our goal was clarified. And we decided that we will implement a smaller pilot project. And this is the Water is Our Common Treasure campaign. And in this campaign, we distributed 500 rainwater barrels to the citizens, as I mentioned. And in parallel with this activity, the awareness raising campaign is also carried out. And the other really essential part of this whole campaign is the CSR activity by involving 5 local companies.
That's corporate social responsibility, I think, CSR, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's often much easier to work with, for example, municipal property or on a larger scale. Why did you take the decision to focus on residents and their water patterns to try and solve this problem of supply and flooding?
I could perhaps add some further thought about the first question about this shift from this more general feasibility study to this tangible, concrete pilot action. And as Dorothy already said, During the first visit, along with Zsófi as a national expert, we get familiar with the situation, with the climate change impact, and we thought that now this is really the time of the urgency, and perhaps we need to start with some concrete action that afterwards could be followed by some more sophisticated studies and so on as a feasibility study would like to be. And working with local inhabitants, I find this as a really exceptional, because it will be really much more easy to only to use some municipal buildings. But firstly, and I'm sure that my colleagues from Debrecen would explain it more precisely, there were some areas really in which such floodings occurred regularly, and these areas were located in these surroundings with private housing and gardens. So it was I would say the success on both sides, that the local inhabitants were involved, the local inhabitants raised awareness about the problem, and at the same time, the local inhabitants could help to find the solution.
So the urgency to push it and the desire to involve people, and also just the geographical fact of rainfall and the areas that it's coming down in. Maybe we could get into a bit more about the practice itself, because I think I understand it in a broad sense. You have these barrels for water and you're distributing them to people and you're raising awareness. Practically speaking, what are we talking about? I mean, to give an image of it to listeners, you're talking about like a blue kind of reinforced plastic water barrel, something about half the size of a person, or is it something larger? And do they take these and they hook them up to their drainage system from their roofs, or what does it really look like? If I was a citizen participating in this, what would I see and what would I have to do?
These barrels are 300 liters big barrels, and the inhabitants can build in their gardens so they can gather the rainwater in their gardens, and every citizen can apply for just one barrel. And the distribution of these barrels is still in progress now. So we are in this process now. These are plastic barrels, and there is a little tap to the barrels and a roof, and they can use it really, really in really easy method. And we made a video which helps them to build it in their house. So it is a promo video how they can implement it in their gardens.
And do they just put it in their garden, or they have to hook it up to their drainage system from the roof, or?
Yes, the second version, yes. They can gather the rainwater from the roof. There is a tap, and they can use the rainwater for watering their garden and their plants.
And have either of you received one of these barrels, or using it in your own space?
I live in a flat, so I can't establish such a kind of barrel. Dorotya has a house, so I don't know. Of course, she would be able to use a barrel of such kind, but I don't think she started yet.
Well, the campaign is ongoing.
Yeah.
and so the idea is quite simple. When it's flooding, you have an opportunity to gather the water, and then you can use it in times of drought for your garden, etc.
Yes.
And can you tell me a little bit about the development of the scheme? Clearly, you got these companies involved as well as part of their corporate social responsibility. How did you engage people in setting up the scheme? Were citizens involved in coming up with the idea, or the companies as well? Or it was more about informing them afterwards? Or what was the process like for putting this in place?
In EDC Debrecen, we have a team who has a really good connection with the local companies, and we made a filtering, and we started to phone them if they could be connected to our pilot project. And the concern was that local businesses will have some negative concerns, but we tried to help them in every step. For example, businesses could only support the project with barrels instead of giving money. It increased their willingness for the participation, or they could give support to locals at their own headquarters site. It was also a really essential engagement factor to be involved in our pilot project. And EDC Debrecen tried to do all the paperwork, facilitate all the process from the beginning to end, connected them to suppliers, helped them in a procurement process. And of course, we offered them to be published in the media. So we tried to help them from the beginning to the end to be part of our pilot project.
And do they don't do anything like branding the barrels? I don't have a McDonald's or a DeWalt advertisement in my garden now.
We just made stickers, and on the stickers there are the logos of these companies. So this is a communication tool.
Another benefit for them.
Yeah.
How is the rollout going? I know it's in process at the moment. What do you expect in terms of results? So how many thousands of liters that are going to be hopefully delayed in entering the system?
So perhaps if I may answer, even if the answer will be not precise or backed by concrete figures, but during our second visit, during the meeting, the colleagues from the water company had some very interesting presentation in which they calculated how many small barrels would be needed in the whole city to solve the situation with the flooding. So I don't know exactly this number. By the first hearing for me, it was, oh, the second time when I will be visiting Debrecen, I will see a lot of rainwater barrels. But once thinking about it, was not such a huge amount. And this will really save a lot of money that otherwise should be spent to make the reconstruction of the sewage system, for example. On the other hand, I see also some other added value, because as the climate change scenarios are showing us, the situation will be worse and worse. So it means that if you are accommodated with some practices now to collect the rainwater and then to use it during the drought period, it will be even more positive or practical in the future. For example, I have four rainwater barrels in my garden. Two are as a spare barrels, and I have two connected. And this summer, once happened that all of these four barrels were empty because I had to water the garden. So this is also a little bit my personal experience.
So maybe the future is more barrels.
This is not perhaps the message I wanted as the most principal message. I wanted to say that the communication and cooperation with the water company started to be very close, that it is possible to perhaps also to solve this big problem with not such a big investment or the combination with. But as we discussed, perhaps the idea would go further this way to enlarge the number of the rainwater barrels distributed, but also to start with the principal measure. It means to make some study or modeling about the rainwater, because in this rainwater modeling you see the direction in which the rainwater is flowing, and you can then realize some other adaptation measures, not only to collect the rainwater into rainwater barrels, but to create some infiltration possibilities, either rain gardens or other. And I think that the chief architect of the city explained us that they are about to start with also some kind of pilot project on the open spaces. So this will be the very good combination for the city, where in board the citizens are involved. They will have some concrete examples also on the open spaces, and perhaps they will start with this strategical documentation preparation.
Yeah, I've seen in some cities like skateboarding parks that serve as water reservoirs. It seems like a cool, but there's so many possibilities in this space. The solution that you've come up with, is it something that you feel like other cities could easily replicate if they're facing similar problems? And if so, what advice would you give a city that's interested in taking up this practice?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I think any other cities can replicate our pilot project. The main factors, I think, are strengthening the multi-actor type of their pilot, which means involving political leaders, the municipality, the companies, the citizens, technical experts like a waterwork company to get more support for your project is really essential. Implementing CSR is also a really good idea because they can finance and support the process. And I think we can start it in small scale. So if a city can organize a small concrete action, which does not require too much money, like rainwater barrels distributions, it can have a really good effect for this whole process. And I think raising awareness with some communication materials can be replicated in any cities. So if I can summarize the main steps, how city interested in implementing this type of measure from start, from the beginning, these are clarify your goals, what is your message, what do you want to communicate for the citizens. After that, you should develop a project idea and develop its specific objectives. Our key elements were distribution of these barrels. The second is an awareness raising activity. And the third is an environmental CSR policy. The third really essential step is mapping. So a city should define the project site. It is not necessary to cover the whole city. It is a big lesson learned for us that we don't have to cover the whole city because it is just a small pilot project. So the southern part of the city was enough to implement this whole pilot project. And it's really, really important to get support from city leaders, get a green light, not just the political side, but also financial support, because the PSF program, we didn't get the money, so we need to find any financial support. But it is a really a small project, so it doesn't require so much money, which helps to success our project. I think these are the main steps and we can make it happen. So it will be a success if you do these simple steps.
That's super clear and a great high note towards the end of the program. If either of the two of you have any other final words you'd like to add, I'd be delighted to hear them.
So perhaps I can try some last sentences. Through my duties or my main role as an expert was to provide advice, to exchange some ideas, to provide some inspiration. And also I was trying to find the examples for the activities that are planned to be realized in Debrecen. So I was making some small research about if in some cities in Europe or United States there were something similar to be organized, and I didn't find it. In some of the cities they have something like a granting program, and the private owners could apply and receive the rainwater barrel for some discount or something like that. But I think this approach that was taken in Debrecen is really unique because it is combining not only this problem of flooding, drought, but it involved local citizens and also private companies. So it is really, I think, the success, and I hope it will be the success in the future as well.
As a recap, I would like to mention that our expectations were absolutely met in this program. On the one hand, we have or had a great cooperation, a great collaboration with the external experts. And on the other hand, we have implemented a very new pilot project with a huge success, which has a very important message for the citizens and the political leaders as well. We have gained great experiences while involving companies too. So our conclusion is that people are willing to be part in good initiatives, and they support us if we communicate and align our common goals.
I really appreciate your taking the time to chat today and for transmitting so clearly this process, outcomes, and the possibilities as well that you're opening up for other cities and people in your own.
Thank you for the opportunity to share our experiences.
All the
best. Thank you. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you
very much, Susanna, for having the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining me in another episode of the Covenant of Mayors podcast. I hope you found it as refreshing as I did to hear about a simple and successful climate adaptation measure that brought lots of people on board. I hope you'll join me next month for the penultimate podcast of this season. Remember, you can find the transcript for this episode and other episodes at the Covenant of Mayors website, eu-mayors.ec.europa.eu. Talk to you next time.